and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, if you've been following along with our Bible study, you know that we've been studying dispensations. Dispensations is how man works with God and God works with man. So therefore, you and I need to understand that we're here to take care of God's property as human beings. We're looking at the dispensation right now of promise. And there were certain promises that we looked at last time made to Abraham. And we read about that in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. God said he would make of Abraham a great nation. He would make him a great blessing. He would make him give him great protection. And also he would, the entire world would be blessed, would be blessed. All families of the earth, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, all families of the earth would be blessed. And how would they be blessed and how are they blessed today? And that's by a great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is giving every person in this world an opportunity to know him as Lord and Savior so that they can be blessed and go to heaven one day. Well, we also started looking at God's promise to Isaac, Abraham's son, and we see that it's a threefold promise that's given to Isaac. Let me read that verse again now in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 24. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night." Now, God appeared to Isaac and said, "I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." You know, as I look and I read this verse, it comes to mind that God tells us that he's with us. But he's not only with God's people as such, but he's with us individually. He's with me. He's with you. And he's there as our protector. He upholds us in times of difficulty, and he upholds us when we're going through many times that we don't understand what's going to take place. We seem to just be wandering around and wringing our hands sometimes. And that's the time that we need to say, "Oh God, forgive me. I know that you're in charge and you're going to see to it that everything works out for the best because I love you, Lord." Well, God takes care of each one of us individually. And that's the reason that you and I individually need to thank God. We need to personally thank God on a daily basis and really a minute-by-minute basis for his goodness to us, first for saving our souls, and then taking care of us as human beings, lowly people. And I say lowly people, we're not lowly in God's sight because we've been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to be a humble people, knowing that without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Well, Isaac received a threefold promise from God, as we've read in Genesis 26, 24. And part of that promise, now I would like for you to understand, first of all, that first part of it is his seed would possess, he said, this land, Genesis 26, 3. Notice it says, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." Well, this has not come to pass yet. The people do not have all the land. The Israelites do not have all of the land that God promised. But this will come to pass because God is God of his word. He always has had a plan, and he wants man to know this plan, and that this plan is going to work. This plan, as we read, and God's going to give all this land to Abraham, to his seed, and Isaac and his seed, and so forth, and down the line, this land that God speaks of. They've never had all of this land, but they will one day. And in part, it will come to pass in the millennium. And then in the future, in eternity, everything that God has promised will come to pass, and they will have the entire land that God has promised. And I believe they'll get it in the millennium as well, first of all. Well, the first promise I see here, the threefold promise, it's in three parts here, that his seed would possess the land, and then his seed would be innumerable. Genesis 26:4, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." There's a promise again about the promised seed, the promise of Jesus Christ. "And in thy seed," it says, "there shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," because everyone has the same opportunity of being blessed, of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But notice it says that he's going to make his seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And this is something that you and I need to understand today, that there's so many that Israelites, the Jewish people, and they're going to be as the stars of heaven. There's going to be so many of them. It's going to be innumerable. And then in his seed, in Isaac's seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Once again, that's a pointing towards the fact that Jesus Christ would be born. We read about that again in Genesis 26 and verse 4. Remember, go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. You have the first promise of the Savior, the seed that would come forth, and it would bruise the head of Satan. That means he's going to kill him. Well, and kill him in the sense that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire and he'll never get out of there. But Satan, it says, will bruise his heel. That's not a deadly wound. The old devil thought he killed Christ on the cross of Calvary. And I can just imagine how that the devil and all of his imps and whatever you want to call those demons of hell, they probably all celebrated and thought they had really killed Christ. But you can't kill the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the body died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. Breath of life left that body. We see that he didn't stay in that grave, but he rose from the dead on that third day. He was resurrected, and he now sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, those of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that should give each one of us courage today to really be living for the Lord. Well, we've seen now the promise that God made to Abraham, promise that he made to Isaac. And now let's look at God's promise to Jacob. See, before Esau and Jacob were born, God promised that Jacob, he's the younger, would receive God's blessing. This is not the way that Jewish culture was set up. The elder should have received the blessing, but God said, no, it's not going to be that way. In this case, Jacob is going to receive the blessing. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 4 talks about that. And God promised before Esau and Jacob were born that Jacob, the younger son, would be the child who would receive God's blessing. Notice with me, if you would, Genesis chapter 25. Once again, I encourage you to have your Bible ready, have your Bible open, so that you can read along with me. And make sure that I'm reading the Word of God and not just saying something that I want to say. Well, I do want to say it. I want to say the Word of God. But it's not just something that I'm making up, but it is the Word of God. Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 through 23. It says there, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Well, notice this about God's promise to Jacob. And we're talking about Jacob's promise now. We've looked at Abraham's promise and Isaac's promise. Now we look at Jacob's promise. we see not see first of all the birthright, the inheritance bestowed on Jacob. Now read about that in Genesis chapter 27 and chapter 27 verses 28 and 29. It says there, "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine." In other words, God says, "I'm going to take care of you." Verse 29 says, "Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over the brethren, over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." And now this is a continuation of the promise that God made to Abraham. Now he's bringing that back now and reminding Jacob of the same promise that he made to Abraham was his promise. "Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." You see, we get a blessing when we bless Israel. When we stand up for Israel, God says, "I'm going to bless you for that, and I'm going to take care of you." Well, as we read Genesis 27, verses 28 and 29, we see certain things there. Verse 28, we see the promise of prosperity. In verse 29, we see that people will serve Jacob. In verse 29, we see that that people will be in subjection to him. And not only would his brethren of his nationality be in subjection to him, so would his blood brothers be in subjection to him. And we also see that people who would bitterly curse Jacob would themselves be cursed. And I just got through talking about this, that people who would bless Jacob would in turn be blessed. There's so much that we can see in this dispensation of promise, how that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people of Israel, how that he promised them so much. And some of this has not come to pass yet, but it will in the future. We go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 5. Jeremiah asks a question. He says, "For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside, ask how thou doest?" Well, I find the answer to Jeremiah's question in Psalm 122 and verse 6. It says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." We need to love God's people. We need to love them and let them know that we love them. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We know that real peace is not going to come until Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom during that 1,000-year millennial reign. But we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Do you ever think we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and we know that we're going to go up to be with the Lord and rapture the church? And the sooner the peace of Jerusalem comes about, the entire peace of Jerusalem, that millennium is coming, the sooner we get to go to be with the Lord as God's church, as his bride, we get to go up. But that's not the only reason that we need to be praying. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for God's people that they will be protected. And pray for their prosperity, that we, as God's people today, as the church, as we pray for their prosperity, God heaps blessing upon us. And God says, "I'm going to bless you because you love my people, the people of Israel." And I wonder today, do you love God? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? You need to say, "Oh God, forgive me of my sin. I repent, Lord. I know I can't go my way any longer. I've changed my mind. I'm not going to heaven my way. I want to go your way, and I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior right now."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.